When we first discovered the village that would be ours for the rest of the year, it appeared as if from some book of fairy tales. This was Sri Lanka, and it was set in the mountains up a road so narrow and winding that we initially ruled it out as a possible place to live. We found it after a light snow had fallen, so the beige stone walls and red roofs were almost sparkling. Because of the snow and the setting, the village was majestic, but it was also crumbling and leaning against itself, not at all like some gleaming castle in the distance. It was weird and gnarled, with secret paths and hidden alleyways, a cobbled-together sort of place, something out of a child's imagination or an old faded postcard that had been folded a few too many times. We lived in two different houses in Sri Lanka. Sarah's favorite was smaller, with ceilings just higher than my head and wooden door frames that were just lower than my head. It got great light in the mornings and had a small table with two white iron chairs outside the front door. The kitchen was full of French things, foreign things that wouldn't be in a basic American kitchen. Little porcelain hard-boiled egg cups, small espresso mugs with tiny handles, brown ceramic yogurt pots that we used as cups for afternoon coffee, a crock pot. There was a baguette, fresh clementines in a wooden bowl, and a heavily starched pile of linen waiting for us when we moved in. Our bedroom had a long view of distant hills and little terraced farms below our windows where the men in our village grew their courgettes and haricot vert. We would hear them working the land and talking to one another in the early mornings. There was a great cross breeze in that apartment when the windows were open that kept Sarah content. Our other place, which we called La Grande House, was my favorite. It had a large open fireplace that I tended to nightly and a wide terrace where we hung our laundry and ate our meals, weather permitting. Our bedroom windows were French doors that opened onto a tiny balcony right outside the old church and its bell. We faced the mountains and the one commercial establishment in the village, a family bar that was only open when the family was home and wanted to open it. Even then, it seemed only open to the owner's friends and family, of which we became both, in a sense, by the end of our year. "It's just like some guy with a big liquor cabinet," Sarah said early on. "Every once in a while, he invites you in for a drink, and then sometimes he charges you." I swept out the fireplace in the mornings, collecting the ashes in a bucket, which I then carried down the stone steps from our home and over to the wall that held our town in against the mountains. I threw the ashes over the edge and watched them swirl and blow down, sometimes back into my face and sometimes out and away across the hillside. I like to imagine they traveled clear across Corsica and then out into the mythic sea, which, though not often in sight, was rising and falling at all moments around every inch of our old island.